Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here with you. And you will probably notice that there are some other few people with me. So there is a group of Latino brothers and sisters that accompany me over here. So very glad to be, very happy, always looking for opportunities to share the gospel and to meet with people. So this is a great opportunity for me to be. It's not the first time I've been before in here, so I know a few faces that I can recognize. That's great. I'm going to be preaching today on the book of Philippians, and I'm going to read the whole passage I'm going to be preaching on. And so just to give you a little bit of chance to catch up with my Spanish accent. So by the time we get to the real explanation, your brain is already connected, tuned up, right? We need to do that. Okay. This is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 23. This is what it said, the word of the Lord. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renew your concerns for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, no one church shared with me in the matters of giving and receiving, except only you. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gift. What I desire is what more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and I have more than enough. And amply supply, now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all of your needs, according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Or with your spirit, amen. So here we have that piece of history, which I found that to be so, so beautiful. I think that relationship between Paul and the Philippians, it is just like family. I mean, these people treat Paul like family. Paul knew these people by name. They were with Paul all the times from the very beginning of the ministry. And this book became one of my favorite books since in seminary, in one of the classes, they say you either do the final exam to pass or you memorize the book. So I put the challenge of memorizing the book, which took me the whole semester, so every day, adding a few more verses until I finish, which is not fair because for some people, they decide not to take the exam at the end, and one day before the exam, they memorize it, and they did it. And I spent the whole semester doing it myself. Anyway, I guess some people are more gifted in some areas than others, right? So, but the thing is, it costs me so much memorizing it that actually gets so into my heart and my mind that I just love that book. I love it because it is so personal. This is a personal letter from a missionary called Paul to the people who has been helping him from the very beginning. How he loved these people, how these people love him. And I think that's the beauty of this letter, right? There is an occasion for this letter, right? They were a little bit worried about how Paul was doing. Paul was far away. He was in chain. That's part of the context. And they were trying to figure out, how is Paul doing? And probably they heard things like, well, he is in chains. He is in prison. And they probably started wondering how his life will end, or how long was going to be he was going to be in prison. Finally, they were able to send Epaphroditus with some aid, some money, and came to Paul. And I suppose that was such an amazing gift to Paul to see Epaphroditus. And bring some gift with him too. So, four things that we can learn from this passage, and I will say, you know, easy to do principles in a relationship between a church and a missionary. Now, when we talk about missionary, I think our minds go immediately to overseas, people in Latin America, China, Europe, Africa. But missionaries, we have home missionaries too, right? People who are planting churches, doing campus ministry, working in as a chaplains. All these ministries are home missions. So we have the two sides, right? That's what actually we call mission, because it's so interrelated that we cannot really now think about missions abroad. So actually you have a home missionary for Latino people. You didn't send him to Latin America, Mexico, wherever in the South. You have it over here. So that's the beauty, right? The world has come to us. Okay, so let's go. First principle is develop presence in a relationship. And look at what Paul says. I thank my God every time I remember you because of your partnership in the gospel from the very first day until now. So this presence was a living thing. It was constant. It was happening. It was prayer from Paul to them, from them to Paul. There were mutual prayers, mutual concerns. How are they doing? So that presence is such a great thing. I did church planting from 2000 to 2008. And there was a church who from Canada, and they support me, support my ministry. They used to send me a letter once a month, and a person will say, hello, Marco, I am so-and-so, and I have been assigned this month to be the one to contact you, to be with you. Tell me about some concerns, some praise items, Thanksgiving items. And to me, that's one of the most beautiful things that happened, that to receive that letter or email from someone saying, I have been assigned this month for you. It's that relationship. It just gave me life. Some people are praying for me. So actually, and they will send me a offering, but I wasn't happy much because of the offering. I was so more happy because of that presence that they developed with me. And I think that's for Paul too. I mean, Paul, and I will not compare myself to Paul. Paul was such a man that he says, you know what, if I am in want, I'm still happy. I am still thankful because I learned how to live whether I got plenty or I am in want. So he was more happy for that relationship with them. And actually, somehow, Paul says, actually, this is a double gaining, right? So I receive, but you also receive because God will bless you. as you bless me. That's just wonderful. So develop presence is such a wonderful thing. So I say, you have the opportunity to develop that presence with Gilbert. He is here. So praying for him, and I will go later about praying for him, but just let him know that you are glad he's here. Just develop that relationship. You know what I mean? It's just that he feels that love from you, from this church. And actually, he does. He hasn't been for very long, but the other day I spoke to him, and we're like, oh, I love this church. I love these people. I said, okay, I hope the honeymoon will last for very long, because it's not always the case. But the thing is, that first love and that caring and mutual understanding and that relationship get stronger with time, because you began to see what is the best way to help someone, right? And the best way to maintain that relationship healthy, that relationship between the church planter, right, the missionary that you have chosen to help, and the church. So it is this dynamic thing, okay? Well, we have other missionaries. In the last 5 years, in the East Coast, we have opened 13 church planting. I add two more, which is Gilbert and Dante Covington in North Carolina, and we will have another campus minister, and there will be another church planting in New York. I mean, just things are just the Spirit's moving. God is doing something. And sometimes it just show it up. It just do it. Sometimes we are not even ready to receive it, but that's the point, right? So, hey, you have taken your time to think about ministry with the Latino, and God has led you to that point. Thanks God. So, first of all, develop presence. I will say the second one will be celebrate with them. That doesn't sound like something between the Philippians and Paul, given that Paul was in prison. It's like, okay, what is it that we have to celebrate? But there is always plenty of opportunities to celebrate. There is always something good happening too in the midst of the troubles and trials. Look at this. If you find something to give thanks in this passage. Now, and this is Paul speaking. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of my brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord, and they're all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. So that's something to give thanks to God. So they say, hey, look at this man. He's in chains, and he's still able to proclaim the gospel to the people around the place where he is in prison. The soldiers, the Roman soldiers hear his preaching. The people that will care for him hear his preaching. The people outside say, if Paul, even in that condition, is able to do it, what about us? And they were emboldened. They were more ready to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. So, and even, you know, Philippians 4:4, all we know this, right? Rejoice in the Lord, I always say to you, rejoice. What does it mean? A man in prison saying and giving to the people outside this hope and just encouraging them to rejoice. It's like they were supposed to be telling Paul, don't worry. We're praying for you. We hope that you are going to get out of this situation. And rejoice that we are with you. And actually, he's the one encouraging them to rejoice. So that's Paul. So celebrate with them. And, you know, there are other occasions and opportunities in our context, right? For every person that comes to Christ, we should rejoice, right? The scripture said that there is party in heavens, right? The angels rejoice when someone on earth begins to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's part of the movement that we have to create in welcoming new people, making room for new people, open doors for new people, celebrate with them. As you imagine, the whole church in Philippi waiting at the city gate, and that's what I imagine. Epaphroditus coming back from Paul with good news and this letter at hand, and everyone was at the city gate waiting for Epaphroditus to say, how is Paul doing? Tell us about. And this man sharing with them and just telling everything about the time spent with Paul and reading the letter aloud to everyone. And I suppose people will be weeping, will be cheering up, asking questions, because they received this letter that has encouragement, thanksgiving, prayers, words of hope. So all these wonderful things happen in a relationship, and we are to celebrate. So we tend sometimes to just see about how can we pray for, which is the next thing. But prayer and celebration and thanksgiving usually go hands by hands, goes together. You see the Psalms, right? In the Psalms, there is these prayers, Lord God, help me. And at the end, and at the beginning, usually begins and ends with praise, right? So, third one, pray for them. Nothing so difficult, and at the same time, very essential. What were some prayer needs for Paul? Obviously, he was in Rome, waiting for his trial. It could end in his death penalty. We don't know what the outcomes of the trial was. He was in prison, he says, in chains. But what else was happening there? Well, so often when we pray, as I said, we usually tend to emphasize those needs, but we also need to mix it up with celebration. Prayer is something simple, and not always we feel like praying, but we know we have to pray. The Lord said to pray, right? So, let's pray for our missionaries. So, number four, and I'm going to try to just stick to it, right? And otherwise, when I began to feel really excited about it, I tend to preach longer and longer and longer, and you don't want that, or you will not invite me to preach again. So, blessed is the preacher who preached short, because he will invite it again, right? Four, provide support to them. And that's what, and I think that's the easy way. It's a good thing, right? Paul need, in that example that we have, he needed some aid, some financial aid. And he got it. So what I'm trying to say is that, and I don't want to diminish how important it is, the financial support. But what I'm trying to say is that this is what we usually think our missionaries need. They need our financial support. And yes, they do. But they also need your presence. They also need your prayers. They also need that you cheer up and you celebrate what is happening. All those things are also very important. And, you know, to support a missionary, it's not so much about that you have extra, some extra money in your budget. It's a matter of the heart. It's why you decide to give to those things that matters to you. So it's about what is it that matters to you. And, well, you remember the case, right, of that widow giving very little compared to what others were giving, and how Jesus highlighted that what she was given was much more than what others were given, because she was giving all that she had. Now, this reminds me about that when you want to do something, no matter what, you find ways to do it. My mother, she didn't learn to write or read in those days where I grew up. My father didn't go to school either, at all. So when I was in Grand Rapids, I was in college at that time, I got this one birthday card. And obviously it came from my mother. But the birthday card was, when I opened it, it was in blank. And let me tell you, that's the only birthday card I keep. So if you send me a birthday card, I appreciate it, I read it, and I put it in the basket. Because I got what you sent to me. I got the greetings. But this one, I keep it. Because that spoke volumes to me. I could read everything that she wanted to tell me. She didn't get the time to tell a granddaughter or grandson to write something. She will used to do that, right? And she will dictate and say, oh, you know, what she wants to tell me. But didn't happen the occasion, and time was passing, so she thought she better send it anyway. And she did it. And that's the best birthday card I ever received. And it speaks more than what words could speak. So, what you decide to give in your heart for missionaries or do for a missionary is not about the amount. It's about the doing. And that creates that relationship between the two. And it's just wonderful. So, I don't think it is much to say about how you can practice these four principles, because you have the opportunity now, here at home, you have the opportunity to do also with other missionaries that you have in your church have a place, right, to support them. Send them an email once a while and just say how you're doing. Ask for a prayer request, and they will get back to you. And that will mean a lot to you. Being far away, leaving their families and their customs, the way of life in third world countries, it is very difficult. Getting to know the language and getting to know the culture, you will probably never feel home as if they were with their family surrounded by their friends. But they have decided to do that sacrifice because they feel that that's their call. So, you know, let's be with them in every way. I'm going to end with this, the sermon for today. I'm going to invite Raul. Raul is going to have a special. And is David coming too? Yeah, David? And so we have a son in Spanish. You don't have to stand up. You stay there. It's like a special. You will not understand the language, most likely, but you will understand the spirit, right? So same spirit, and that's what you will get, that connection. I think the music connects us even when we don't understand the language it is spoken.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for the opportunity. I thank God to start for the opportunity to be in front of you guys, brothers and sisters from this beautiful church. And we are also here to praise. We are also here to pray and to worship in our way, but under the same feeling, the same peace, and the same name, which is Jesus. So this is for God, this is for you, God, and thank you again for the opportunity. I'm going to pray in Spanish with the people from my church. Gracias, Señor, amado Padre bendito, por la oportunidad de estar aquí en este día, porque tú has movido las voluntades de tus hijos para que unidos en un mismo espíritu, sin importar idioma ni cultura, alabemos tu nombre. Recíbelo, Señor, porque todo lo hacemos con toda nuestra fe y todo nuestro amor. En el nombre de Jesús. Amén.
Cristo vive en mí, aleluya. Cristo vive en mí. Oh, qué maravilla es que Cristo viva en mí. Ale, aleluya, aleluya, ale, aleluya. Oh, qué maravilla es que Cristo viva en mí. Alabaré, 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 alabaré a mi Señor. Alabaré, 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 alabaré a mi Señor. Juan vio el número de los redimidos y todos alababan al Señor. Unos cantaban, otros oraban, pero todos alababan al Señor. Alabaré, 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 alabaré a mi Señor. Alabaré, 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 alabaré a mi Señor. En esta reunión Cristo está, pues Él ha prometido estar. Donde dos o tres en mi nombre estén, allí estaré, allí estaré, allí estaré. Yo lo siento en mí, yo lo siento en mí, su Espíritu me hace hablar. Yo lo siento en mí, yo lo siento en mí, su Espíritu me hace cantar. Viva la fe, viva la esperanza, viva el amor. Viva la fe, viva la esperanza, viva el amor. Viva la fe, viva la esperanza, viva el amor. Que viva Cristo, que viva Cristo, que viva el Rey. Que viva Cristo, que viva Cristo. Que viva Cristo, que viva el Rey. Que viva Cristo, que viva Cristo. Que viva Cristo, que viva el Rey. Alabaré, 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 alabaré a mi Señor. 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 Cristo vive en mí, aleluya. Cristo vive en mí. Oh, qué maravilla es que Cristo viva en mí.
Amen. Thank you, God.